A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 514. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Jackanory, the revival. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are looking at two stories from the BBC's long-running Jackanory series, Muddle Earth and The Magician of Samarkand, both of them from 2006. And they were originally shown as sort of 15-minute episodes, so you had three episodes for each story. And these were, of course, story readings in the tradition of the long-running Jackanory series. For rebroadcast and for the versions we're looking at, they edited each story into one 42-minute show.
Indeed they did, and that's what we've been looking at. And we'll say that they combine, the two stories combine some traditional Jackanory storytelling, talking directly to the camera, but there's some live-action performances and there's some CGI animation, as well as some interesting and rather beautiful hand-painted backdrops to look at as well. So some different elements in this revival of the Jackanory show.
Yes, indeed.
So we will start with the first one to be broadcast, which was a story called Muddle Earth. Originally broadcast, as you say, Brian, over 3 days, beginning on the 27th of November 2006, based on the 2003 children's novel of the same name by Paul Stewart. And I'll note that original novel was illustrated by the great British cartoonist and illustrator Chris Riddell. And actually, we see some of Riddell's illustrations at the end of this story as the narrator sort of fills in the lead character on some of the other adventures that are not covered in this Jackanory version.
Yes, there's sort of a brief summary of some of them at the end, but the adaptation really covers the first part of the book. That part is called Engelbert the Enormous. So Joe Jefferson is an ordinary boy out walking his dog, Henry. He has to get back in time for tea and in time to get his schoolwork done. He has an essay to write.
But of course, Henry the dog goes off sniffing something strange in the bushes. Joe follows him and soon finds himself transported into the strange world of Muddle Earth, both Joe and Henry, and we switched from sort of live action to a live action characters interacting with a CGI sort of world, and this is where they're going to meet the rather strange and fun character of the wizard Randolph, he said carefully, and a three-eyed ogre called Norbert. And not surprisingly for this strange fantasy world that Joe finds himself in, he's going to have to go on a sort of a mission, a quest, to defeat the great ogre Engelbert the Enormous and find his way back to his own world in time for tea time and homework.
Yes, this is very much the knight's quest thrust upon this young boy. The story is narrated and performed by John Sessions, an actor, an impressionist, and comedian with a long and illustrious career. We saw him as Dr. Prune Squalor in Gormenghast, which we covered some time ago now, but he also auditioned for the part of the Eighth Doctor in the Doctor Who TV movie in 1996. He was not in that, but he showed up in all sorts of places. I remember him from early episodes of Whose Line Is It Anyway, where he appeared a great deal.
And was generally hilarious in. And I almost feel that we could have a British Invaders actors subcategory of actors who have auditioned for the role of the Doctor over the years and didn't get the part, Brian.
Yes, I think we could, yeah. Young Henry is played by Charlie Rowe, who went on to play Peter in the sci-fi series Neverland and has has also appeared in Apple TV's successful spy series, Slow Horses.
Yes, he's carried on acting and seems to be doing very well, so that's good to see. And I think you pointed out before we started recording, Brian, apart from Charlie Rowe, all the other voices in this are provided by John Sessions himself.
Yes, I think that's right.
So Muddle Earth was adapted for Jack and Ori by Nick Willin, who also produced and directed this story. Music is composed by Simon Boswell, and the visual effects and the animation are all supervised for the BBC by Matt Estella.
I think that brings us nicely into the production notes for Jack and Ori the Revival.
Yeah, because the production behind these two stories we've been looking at is interesting, because of course we are back with the BBC's long-running and enormously well-remembered storytelling show, Jack and Ori. This is a revival, but of course, the original, very well-remembered, Brian.
Yes, it was created by Joy Whitby and ran from 1965 through to 1996, with a total of 34 series and 3,600 episodes. Sadly, many of those are missing, and only a few stories have been released for us to look at, but there is a tremendous number of them that were made. The original concept was that it was to stimulate an interest in reading and gave you the idea of a storyteller sitting down in a chair and reading a story to the audience, primarily to children.
And of course, over the years, many famous actors and celebrities read stories from the classics of children's literature. I'll point out, you know, a few. Obviously, most of the actors who played the Doctor in the classic era of Doctor Who have done a Jack and Ori at some point. And even as he was then Prince Charles, now King Charles III, Prince Charles read his own children's book on Jack and Ori in 1984. And there's some notable names along the way, Brian.
Yes, indeed. I believe Bernard Cribbins held the record for the largest number of appearances with 114 episodes. I don't know how many stories he read, but it seems to be over 20. It's quite a few.
Yeah, he's generally credited with 114 episodes. I actually found it difficult to find a complete listing of all the Jack and Ori stories and readers on the internet. The ones I found were only partial. So if anybody knows a full resource on Jack and Ori episodes, please do let me know.
Someone needs to research and write a book about Jack and Ori if there isn't one already.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have discussed Jack and Ori before, particularly for its connections to the show's Lizzie Dripping, which we covered in British Invaders 367 and 368 in 2021, and also to Simon and the Witch, which we covered in British Invaders 472 and 473 last year in 2025. So there were various things that sort of spun off from it, and we discussed those too. Over the years, the style of storytelling on Jack and Ori evolved somewhat and introduced more elements of performance and also illustrated backgrounds, often by Quentin Blake, and these sort of different visual elements.
Yes, and it does, as you say, Brian, I think it started very simply with just a reader holding the book in front of them and reading from the book to the camera. Obviously, as auto-cue technology became more widely available, they could, in some cases, dispense with the book and have the storyteller tell the story directly to us. And as you say, we get some more advances in sort of methods. We get more performance coming in there. And as you say, Brian, some beautiful, beautiful backdrops along the way. Now, in 1970s, we mentioned, of course, that the performance aspect gets spun off into Jack and Ori Playhouse, which, of course, gave us Lizzie Dripping. perhaps the most famous performance reading in Jack and Ori's history, I'm going to say, is Rick Mayall's five-part reading of Roald Dahl's George's Marvelous Medicine, which was in 1986. Regular listeners will know that I've referred to this before as one of the high points of Jack and Ori, which says quite a bit. I always go back to this one. Sadly, not available to sort of buy and watch, but you can find it on YouTube, and it is, as ever, fantastic. You may find me putting a link up to that on the Facebook page after this episode comes out.
Oh, interesting. We need more official distribution of Jack and Ori readings.
We do indeed.
Nick Willing is a writer, director, and producer who grew up watching Jack and Ori. He actually made his name directing music videos for artists like the Eurythmics, Nick Kershaw, and Bob Geldof.
Yes, and then of course, music videos were a way into film and television. And so after that, he goes on to direct modern versions of Alice in Wonderland, Jason and the Argonauts remake. He directed a version of the Peter Pan story called Neverland, which again, I believe that's where Charlie Rowe moves on to work with him again after this performance. He also, Nick Willing, interestingly, worked on, surprise, surprise, a paranormal investigation show, which I think we didn't mention last time, Brian, a show called Sea of Souls, which could be on our radar for a future coverage on British Invaders. As always, availability is starting to become a bit difficult on that show, so we may have to talk about it.
Yeah, interesting.
Now, of course, Willing pitches the idea of a revival of Jack and Ori to CBBC as an opportunity he felt to enhance the traditional storytelling with some new animation techniques and to bring in some beautifully hand-painted illustrations, which I've seen him quoted in an interview that he wanted to be inspired by the sort of classics of Victorian illustrations for children's stories.
Yeah, he wanted to bring the storyteller into the story and surprise the audience by having them pop into the scenery or interact with characters and do interesting types of things like that. He said that he had always wanted to have characters interacting with imaginary worlds, and that new technologies would allow the BBC to do this on the budget of a CBBC, you know, children's BBC series. And to give you a bit of context, 2006 is sort of the British science fiction television revival kind of period where we had just had Doctor Who revived the previous year, and this was around the time that Life on Mars and Primeval were both happening, and a variety of other things. So it was sort of lots of new and different and interesting things were being done on British television. So this fit into that very nicely.
It did, yes.
Muddle Earth and The Magician of Samarkand were shown on CBBC and also on BBC One at 4:30 in the afternoon over 3 days in November and December, with each of them over 3 days in November and December of 2006.
And then, as we've said, they very quickly edited the three episodes of each story together to produce a sort of single episode of about 40 to 42 minutes long by taking off the sort of, like, I guess, the credits and so on at the end of each episode. And those were broadcast very soon afterwards. I think literally the Sunday after the weekday broadcasts, they showed the 40-minute version again, quite soon after the original release.
Yeah, so these were getting some attention. You know, they were being broadcast quite a bit, so that's nice to see.
Now, we'll just quickly mention a couple of other shows. I'll say that there was another sort of revival of Jack and Ori, this one called Jack and Ori Jr., which was broadcast on CBeebies. So CBeebies is the BBC children's channel aimed at children up to the age of six. And that was between 2007 and 2009. And although that hasn't continued, the idea of bedtime stories read by popular actors and celebrities has continued, both on CBeebies and the CBeebies app since then. So they've kept up the sort of Jackanory tradition without necessarily the Jackanory badge.
Okay, that's good to hear that some of that has continued.
And I'll also mention that there's another version of Muddle Earth. The BBC made a more sort of conventional animated series of Muddle Earth in 2011. Two series of 13 episodes each. They're about 11 minutes long. We've looked at it very briefly and seen that it does look like more traditional animation than the sort of CGI that we're looking at here. They're not released on DVD or any other physical media, as far as I can tell, but you can still watch those ones on the BBC iPlayer.
Oh, very interesting. So speaking of that, let's talk about availability.
Right. Well, here in Region 2, sadly, these two Jackanory stories from the revival are not now currently on the BBC iPlayer app, but they were released together on a BBC DVD in 2007. They are both the sort of 40, 42-minute edits of the stories. There's a few bonuses on there, some image galleries, and a very short, about 3-minute long, behind-the-scenes look at the CGI for Muddle Earth. That DVD, currently still available, £4, which is an absolute bargain. Like I say, I can't find them streaming, and they're not for rent on cinemaparadiso.co.uk, unfortunately. But £4 for that DVD over here in Region 2, not bad at all, Brian.
Yeah, that is a pretty good deal. In Region 1, there is no release. But the Region 2 imports are floating around on Amazon. When I looked, they were about $15 US and $11 Canadian. So check around to see what's available.
Indeed.
The books in the Muddle Earth series are still widely available as well. And the Magician of Samarkand book appears to be out of print, but it is available secondhand.
Okay. I'll also quickly mention that there was some Jackanory released on DVD, not very much, and those DVDs are starting to disappear. We have a couple on our radar for possible future discussions, but yes, if you want to get some of this Jackanory content sooner rather than later is probably best.
Yes, there were a handful of DVDs of individual stories, and most of those are now out of print, and you're looking at secondhand copies and so on.
Okay.
So next time, we will talk about the other story in this, The Magician of Samarkand.
We will indeed. Yes, we get to the other story. We're going to talk briefly again about Jackanory as a whole and some of the content from that show that we would like to be able to cover at some point.
Yes, a whole big collection of things there.
And of course, we'll get to our own views, review these two stories from the Jackanory revival, and decide whether or not we're going to recommend this DVD to you, our listeners.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group there and you can join in on some of the conversations. Or you can follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, do find us there and let us know what you think. And do find us at thevognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks, a mixture of podcasts, Twitch streaming, gaming content, and other geek-related activities at the Voice of Geeks at vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, this is Eamon in England also signing off.